Thank you, Lynn. And hello, everyone. it's about lunchtime here in Colorado. I know for some of you, if you're out in the Pacific area, it's 11. And if you're in Central Time or the Eastern Time, it's 1 or 2. But I remember when I was a little girl, my grandma, who worked very hard, she'd get up like 4 in the morning and begin her day. She lived on a farm, and she did all of her chores. You know, she gathered the eggs and milked the cows and fed the chickens and the pigs and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Oh, happy Diwali. 7 p.m. here. Where is here, Angelica? But, you know, she used to do all that stuff. She worked very, very hard, and, like, she made her own butter. You know, she just did everything the old-fashioned way. She didn't even have a modern washing machine for part of the time. You know, she used the wringer for part of the time. She had an outhouse instead of a toilet in the house until, like, the 80s. So very, very old-fashioned. Ah, Scotland. Okay. But anyway, I remember my grandma worked very, very hard. Yeah, Dancer says her great-grandmother was like that, too. But what my grandma would do after lunch is she would go into the living room, she would turn on the TV, and I don't remember which soap operas she watched, but she'd turn on what she called My Stories, and typically fall asleep. But it was very, very important for her to watch those soap operas, or at least think she was watching those soap operas every day, when actually she was taking a nap, and then, of course, the whole thing started over again because then there was more work to do. So it was a very, in fact, she didn't go to bed till around 11 or 12 each night and was up by 4. So she had very short nights. So that afternoon nap was pretty important. But when the name came to me to call this the guiding light, it reminded me of my grandma's afternoon nap because, you know, I don't know if she watched that soap opera or not. I don't remember which one she watched, but the guiding light is one of them that's been around for a very, very long time, since at least the early 1950s. So she may have watched The Guiding Light. But the way this, the name of this teaching came about, is that when I was asking, you know, what title I should give it, the only word that kept coming to my mind was inspiration. And that made sense because I want to teach from inspiration. But inspiration didn't seem like a very good title. So I typed the word inspiration in. I think I was on my Mac dictionary, and I clicked on the thesaurus tab to see what other words might be there. And the guiding light. The guiding light was actually one of the synonyms for inspiration in that thesaurus. So that's where this title came from, the guiding light. And I'm sure you guys know that I will be here every Wednesday at this time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, except, of course, on the weeks when I'm traveling and such. But I'll be here for the foreseeable future. And I'm going to start with the book of John in the Bible. Once this book of John teaching is done, I'll go on to something else, and I don't know what yet. It could be anything. But I'm going to start with the book of John in the Bible. When I was the scribe of NTI, and I was reading the book of John and letting the book of John be interpreted for me, there was this feeling that Holy Spirit wasn't really interpreting the book of John like the other books were being interpreted. And the feeling was because John didn't really need that the book of John had its own secrets in the Bible, just like it was written, and that it was better to read John directly for itself instead of reading an interpretation. So one of the classes I teach in the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program is Jesus of the New Testament. And one of the things that we do in that class is we read some of the book of John directly. We also read some of Matthew, some of Mark, and some of Luke. But the clarity that comes from the book of John is pretty amazing. And every time I teach a Jesus of the New Testament course, I want to go through the entire book of John. I just feel like there's something here, like it's a package that's waiting to be unwrapped. So that's where I'm going to start with the guiding light. I'm going to start with the book of John directly from the Bible. Probably as we finish a chapter, I will go and just see what NTI had to say as well. But this isn't a teaching from NTI. This is going to come directly from the Bible. So if you have a Bible and you like to read along, go ahead and grab it. If you have more than one Bible and you want to know which one I have, it's the NIV, the New International Version, the NIV version. So if you want to read along, you can do that. Before we get started, I'm going to play a little tune. This tune is based on NTI. Esther Danmary sang a few songs. She did the music, but the lyrics come directly from NTI, and this is one of her songs from NTI. The name of this song is Written on the Heart, so we'll listen to it just to get a little centered before we start reading from the book of John.
The law of God is written on the heart. The law of God is written on the heart. The law of God is written on the heart. The law of God is written on the heart. The law of God is written on the heart. The law of God is written on the heart. The law of
Whenever I teach in person, like at a gathering or a retreat, like just now we had the Awakening Together retreat, people always ask questions. and here, usually people just listen. So I just want to let you know that if at any point you want to ask a question, if you'd like some additional clarity regarding whatever is coming through as I teach from the book of John, you are invited to do so. You do not have to just sit and listen. Also, if you have your own clarity, in fact, I see some people in the room who are MPP students, so I know you've contemplated at least part of the book of John already. You know, if anybody, you don't have to be an MPP student, if anybody would like to share, well, here's what I see in that, please do. Because I feel that inspiration uses great spiritual texts to talk to us. I'll say that again. I feel that inspiration uses great spiritual texts to talk to us, which means it can interpret a particular line or a particular story one way for me to talk to me. but it can interpret that same line or that same story another way for you in order to talk to you. And we're each being talked to right where we're at right now. So if you see something different, if it's really speaking to you in a different way, please do not feel like you are here to learn from me. Feel free to share how this is speaking to you as well. We can pretend like we're in a room physically together if you like, because people seem to speak more when we're in a room physically together than they do here in Pal Talk. So you are invited. All right, so as I mentioned, I think a few more people have popped into the room. So as I mentioned, I am going to be beginning this teaching by sharing from the book of John directly in the Bible. Not in TI, but directly in the Bible. And I'm going to begin at the beginning. So beginning with John 1, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So this is, of course, a passage that I've already contemplated deeply. Some of these passages I've already spent a lot of time with. Some of what we read in the book of John will be somewhat new to me as I read it. But not this. This is something that I have spent a lot of time contemplating. I've been probably contemplating it on and off for at least a year and a half now. But I think it was a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer than a year and a half, maybe a year and three quarters when I really began to contemplate this. But my contemplation begins with the third word, in the beginning, beginning, beginning. As we know, at least intellectually, as we know, truth has no beginning, no end, and is absolutely changeless. And by truth in this case, I'm going to say ultimate truth, or what people call the absolute, the supreme, right? But within truth, there is still truth, as crazy as that sounds. And so we'll call the absolute the capital T truth. And we'll call anything that has a beginning a little t truth. It is still a truth because we cannot escape it, we cannot change it, we cannot affect it. But it does have a beginning, which means it was created, and therefore it's not the absolute. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if you all went to Sunday school, you may have been taught that the Word was Jesus. That's what I was taught, that the Word was Jesus. But when I began contemplating the book of John, I knew that the most important rule, if you will, there are rules that you can follow, or guidelines. Some people prefer the word guideline. Rules or guidelines to how to contemplate, how to contemplate in order to get wisdom. And one of those rules or guidelines is that you have to let go of everything you previously thought something meant. So, for example, if you were taught that the Word was Jesus, and you hold on to that teaching from the past, you will get less out of contemplating this sentence than you would if you choose to let go of that. If you choose to start completely fresh, I do not know what the Word is. And this is what I chose to do. I chose to start completely fresh. I do not know what the Word is. And I was guided to look it up in a dictionary. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and I saw the word, just the word word, W-O-R-D, defined as utterance or expression. And that then spoke to me. I understood that the Word and the word beginning together. In the beginning was the word. That what is being taught to us here in John 1 is what I often call divine law. You know, we have absolute truth, and divine law has nothing to do with absolute truth. Absolute truth is before divine law. But divine law is a creation of absolute truth, or something that comes from the intelligence of absolute truth. And the funny thing about divine law, we call it a creation, but in truth it's absolutely natural. In fact, some people call it nature. I've heard some people actually refer to it as nature, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful name for divine law. Just like it's natural when you plant a seed and water it for something to grow from that seed, it is natural for divine law to come from the absolute. So even though it has a beginning, it is still a truth. It precedes what we think we are, which is humans, and where we think we live, which is in a world. In time, we would say it precedes us by billions and billions of years, but in this moment, it is completely here and completely active, and it precedes us. It is still before what we think we are. And yet, even though divine law is completely before what we think we are, it is also the source of what we think we are. In other words, the reason that I seem to be Regina and you seem to be whoever you are is because of divine law. It is the source of this manifestation of these people, these personalities. It is even the source of the thoughts that come into our mind. Some of you may remember reading in A Course in Miracles where Jesus says, you think, right? You think. If we think, that means we're not thinking. And the reason we're not thinking is because the thoughts that come into our mind, which we believe are our thoughts, and which we believe we are thinking, are actually coming into the mind through divine law. They are manifestations. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was utterance. A Course in Miracles calls this idea. In the beginning was idea. But what's really interesting is the next part of the sentence. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Many people think of idea or utterance as separate from God. Like that was the beginning of the mistake, right? Idea or utterance, which began the manifestation of the universe and of the world and of the people that we think we are and of the thoughts that come into the mind, including, of course, the ego thoughts that come into the mind, that somehow the utterance or the idea that began all of this was a mistake. Some people even feel guilty for this mistake, and they feel like the only correction to guilt is to wake up from the mistake. None of that is true. Because divine law comes from God, it is also made up of God. Therefore, anything that comes into manifestation through divine law is also God. Sometimes that's very difficult to accept when you look at some of the appearances that are here on this planet. Like just before I came to this teaching, I ate lunch. I ate lunch early because I didn't want to be hungry, and this teaching starts at noon for me. So I was eating lunch, and lunchtime is when I watch the news every day. For the few minutes that I'm eating lunch, I watch the news. So I was watching the news today, and there were two young men, I would say in their, you know, mid-20s probably, 25-ish. Two young men who were arrested because they had plans to participate in or start a race war. A war of whites against blacks and Jews. I guess there were a few races that don't have to participate in the war in their mind. and I think if I heard the news correctly, and I may have heard it a little wrong, so if you go hear the news later today and you hear something different, just know I was just sitting down when this story was on, so I may have misheard the first few words. So take this with a grain of salt. What I thought I heard was that their plan was to steal jewels. This was the beginning of their plan. They wanted to steal jewels and sell the jewels in order to get money to stockpile arms. I think they also wanted to buy property where they would stockpile the arms and where they would train other young men and maybe women too for this oncoming race war. So they were just at the beginning of this plan, and stealing was a part of it, and they were arrested by the FBI very early in the plan. But you know, when you look at this, they call this a hate crime, right? A hate crime, because they are motivated by the hate of a particular race or religious group. When you look at things like this in the world, and you hear statements like, it's all God, that can be very, very difficult to accept. How can it be all God? How can hate be God? How can hating someone because of the color of their skin or because of their religious tradition, how can that be God? How can killing complete strangers that you've never met and so you know nothing about them, but you're killing them just because of their religion or their skin, how can that be God? Well, the answer is, because it all comes through divine law. You know, one of my simplest examples is if we had Play-Doh. If we had Play-Doh, a lot of Play-Doh, a lot of Play-Doh, and we built a city with buildings and cars and trees and dogs and people, and then maybe we made some of the people in one color Play-Doh and some of the other people in another color Play-Doh, and then we make guns, and we make bombs, and we start having them fight, and we start blowing up automobiles and blowing up buildings. We still only have Play-Doh. We still only have Play-Doh. Well, the absolute, the capital T truth, which right now I will call God, that is the source of everything. Just like Play-Doh is the source material of my made-up city. You can argue, and you would be correct, there is no other thing. People often use the word essence. There is no other essence. And so when you take God and you make out of it a divine law, and then through that divine law, you make manifestations. You still have, from the beginning, all the way through to the last manifestation, you still have only God. Later, as we read more in the book of John, we're going to get to a place where Jesus says something like, "The Father does not judge. He leaves it to the Son to judge." Now, I don't feel Jesus in that sentence means judge like good and evil, who gets to go to heaven, who gets to go to hell, which is how many Christians read it. I feel like Jesus is really referring to discernment. Hold on just one moment. I think my computer may not be plugged in. Hmm. It appears to be plugged in, but my little light is not lit. Let me see how much battery I have. Okay, I have enough battery to make it. I'll figure out what's going wrong later. Oh, wait. I just played with it a little bit. Now it's lit. Okay, good. So anyway, it says later in the book of John, the Father does not judge. He leaves it to the Son to judge. And here's what I feel that means. Divine law is always in us operation. There is nothing we can do to make divine law not be in operation now. It is always, always, always in operation. When thoughts come into our mind, they are coming from divine law. They're manifestations, and I'll talk more about that later. They're manifestations. Our awareness or our attention is an extension of the Creator. It is also divine. My awareness, my attention is divine. Your awareness, your attention is divine. An extension of the Creator. So when a thought comes into the mind, even though it is not my thought, it is just a manifestation. When a thought comes into the mind, if I love that thought, and the way that you love a thought is by giving it your attention, being engrossed in it. If I love that thought, through divine law, it creates another manifestation. So, for example, these young men that were on the news today, let's say that I want to see myself as a righteous person who supports all kinds of people, all races, all ethnicities, all religions, all cultures, that to me this is my idea of a righteous person, someone who supports everyone, and I want to be this righteous person. If I want to be this righteous first person, what I might do out of that sense of identity is judge these young men. I might even hate these young men. Certainly hate their purpose, hate their intention. If I allow myself to hate these young men, I am actually casting my attention, my divine attention, my divine awareness upon a hate thought and basically saying, go forth and multiply. Go forth and multiply. I think at the conscious level that by hating these young men, somehow I'm ending hate. But I'm not. I'm telling hate, go forth and multiply. And it does. And how did I do that? Through divine power. By placing my divine awareness on a thought of hate. So you see, everything that is made, everything that is in manifestation, regardless of how ignorant we are of divine law, everything that is made, everything that is manifestation, comes from the divine and is therefore the grace of the divine. And you see, the Father does not judge, meaning in this case, the divine law does not judge. If I decide to hate these two young men, there's not some mystical character from divine law that's going to say, oh no, you can't hate. You're not allowed to put hate into the process of divine law. We're going to reject what you've put your attention on. There's no part of God that does that for me. There's no part of God that discerns for me. There's no part of God that changes my mind for me. The Father does not judge. If we all choose to put our attention on hate thoughts, hate will go forth and multiply. The Father does not judge. It is up to the Son to judge. The Son, me, you. It benefits us to understand divine law, to understand that we are not separate from divine law, and in fact, we cannot separate ourselves from divine law. That is an impossibility. To realize that our awareness is divine, and that what we place our awareness on, what we place our attention on, you know, with passion, with interest, with belief, that it becomes manifest in some way. And then it becomes wise for us to start to look at these thoughts that are delivered into our minds. Remember, they're not our real thoughts, but they are delivered into our minds, and to begin to ask, is this where I want to place my attention? I told this story at the retreat this weekend, but I'll tell it again here because I know there are people here that weren't at the retreat. You know, I've been aware of this, which I'm saying now, for a long time. In fact, this is taught in NTI, in the book of Ephesians, and in the book of Colossians. It's also taught in the teachings of Inner Ramana. So I've been aware of this that I'm teaching for a long, long time. But you can be aware of something before it really deeply sinks in. And the way that it really deeply sunk in for me, I mean really deeply sunk in, because I was still practicing it before, but somehow it went deeper. When in the spring of this year, there was a Jordanian pilot who was flying over Syria, and his plane crashed, and they ISIS arrested him. And then you may remember this. One day they decided to put him in a cage and burn him alive. That broke my heart. That just broke my heart. That one human could do that to another human broke my heart. And I did not judge ISIS or anyone else. I only cried. It seems to me like I cried for about 2 hours. I just cried. I just cried and cried and cried. I did not think. I only cried. And when the crying was done, I knew that there is never an excuse for hate. Hate is never justified in any form, whether it's a subtle hate or a strong hate. I knew that love is the only power that I want to tolerate within myself. See, we have something written here. Where thought goes, energy flows, things grow. Whatever thoughts we energize will be our destiny, with a question mark. Well, one thing that's interesting about that question is a lot of times our questions come from the belief that we are people. That, you know, for example, I'm Regina. So I think one thing that's really helpful to keep in mind is that that's not true. That's a misperception. We are not people. We are not the person that we think we are. And this teaching is not a personal teaching. If you come to see yourself as the world, as the universe, because that's really what we are, combined, if you will, if you come to see yourself as the world, as the universe, then absolutely our thoughts energize our destiny as a universe. Sometimes individual thoughts do not appear to manifest specifically. For example, let's say that you spend your whole life fearing cancer. You know, different people around you have gotten cancer. You've seen what some of these cancer deaths look like, and you fear cancer. Maybe you even fear a specific type of cancer, like brain cancer or something. You can spend your whole life fearing cancer and may never get cancer. You might, too. but you might not. However, another type of manifestation is more thoughts along the same line. So, for example, if I fear dying of some disease, and I never look at that, and I never notice that I'm putting so much passion, so much belief into these thoughts, more of these thoughts will come. So even if I never get cancer, I experience the manifestation of more and more fear thoughts about getting cancer. And at the same time, yes, there's the manifestation of cancer in this world. Or even if cancer gets healed, if our scientists are able to cure cancer, new diseases become born. It's really helpful when we listen to this teaching, although, you know, we're each going to have to practice it at the level of the apparent individual. You know, the stories that come into my mind are Regina stories, where the story that comes into your mind is personal to your life. And we have to practice the discernment at that level of the personal. The truth is we are not the personal. The personal is a manifestation. It's a character. What we are is the awareness that makes a universe simply by casting our attention on an idea. Think about that. Think about that. What we are is the awareness that makes a universe simply by casting our attention on an idea. That's what we are. And sometimes, again, because people listen to this kind of teaching through the idea I'm this person, they think, oh, me, Regina, I'm making the world. That's not true. Regina is a manifestation. The I that makes the world at the level that we're experiencing it is best called us, all of us. Right? That awareness that appears to be my awareness and your awareness, our mind claims it, right? Our mind says this is my awareness. That awareness is not yours and mine. That awareness is one awareness. One. One. That's where we are one. And that awareness, by casting attention on ideas, creates an entire universe of happenings. And this is what the Book of John, at the beginning, is beginning to explain. But it is also pointing out that this divine law, this process of creation where you take awareness plus an idea and you get something, some kind of manifestation, that this law itself is God. It's not a mistake. Maybe some of what we're casting our attention on is a mistake. But the law itself is perfection. And because the law itself is perfection, everything that comes through it is also perfection, which, yes, that means these young men who want to start a hate war, a race war in the United States of America, that is perfection. How is that perfection? Because it is a perfect reflection of the types of thoughts that we are still choosing to cast our attention upon. I'll say that one more time, and then I'm going to play a song. And during the song, I would love for us to just close our eyes and really, really listen. Because the song is just going to help this teaching to sink in a little deeper. So how is it perfect that two young men, really cute young men, right? Somebody's sons, somebody's brothers, right? How is it perfect that these two young men hate so much that they're plotting to begin an actual race war in the United States of America? How can that possibly be perfect? It is perfect because it is a perfect reflection of the types of thoughts that we as a whole are still choosing to focus our divine attention upon. We focus our divine attention on hate thoughts, whether we call them grievances, whether it's a repressed, I don't like you idea. We focus our attention on these thoughts, which are actually hate thoughts, and that is like saying, go forth and multiply, and through the absolute perfection of divine law, they manifest perfectly. All right, let me play a song for us now. This song is by Kirtana. And the name of the song is Happy Birthday, Jesus. So listen carefully to these words and see how they fit with what we're talking about right now. If you're like me, you might want to listen with your eyes closed. There'll be no distraction that way.
Happy birthday, Jesus, lives and lives have passed since we saw you last at Gethsemane, that you are in our hearts and minds this silent night as we light and light the hope of light to be. We shun the love you offer with your outstretched hand, for we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Even so, on this night, all is not calm, all is not bright. We still have the hungry, we have the poor, and we haven't found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bonds of hate. We have not ceased since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name. Could you please send another star? We could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. Don't know if we'd know you, if you cared again. And you walked and taught among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me. So I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday. May we live as one. May peace take root inside us. May your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light a light in hope of light to come.
One of the lines in that song that we just listened to was something like good wishes and intentions is the gift we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. Good wishes and intentions is the gift we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. And I think that we can all recognize that in ourselves. I think I'm imagining that as we sit here now listening to this teaching, we have those intentions, right, of being very careful in watching our mind so that we do not cast our attention upon the types of thoughts that create the types of appearances that we really aren't fond of. So we do have those intentions, but she says, I wish we had a more substantial offering. More substantial than intentions, of course, is doing it. You know, it reminds me of the Nike commercial, just do it. Now, another thing I said to the people at the retreat this week, as I said, or last week, I guess it was, I said, a good spiritual student catches herself making mistakes all through the day. And by that I mean without judgment. We're not afraid to see, ooh, I just gave my attention to another hate thought. Ooh, I just gave my attention to wishing she'd shut up, which is really a type of hate thought. A good spiritual student notices these mistakes that we make because it's only through noticing them and bringing our awareness to them that we're going to begin to change those habits. And we are in the habit. It's like a circle that just keeps turning in the same direction. It has its own gravity now in that direction. We are in the habit of casting our attention upon the exact types of thoughts that create the types of appearances we don't want. For example, for many of us, it would be a habit to hate those two young men who want to start a race war, right? A habit to hate ISIS. A habit to hate a politician that we perceive as a problem. See, it's a habit to hate, you know, in one form or another. And we don't realize that that habit is creating the exact appearances that we say we want to see disappear from our planet. So the habit needs to be broken. And the way the habit becomes broken is through our awareness, through our attention, which means we do catch ourselves making mistakes. We need to learn to celebrate our mistakes. That's somewhere in NTI. Well, actually, NTI says, praise your mistakes. Praise your mistakes. And someone once told me, you know, you must have misheard Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit would never say praise your mistakes. But Holy Spirit did say praise your mistakes. We need to be grateful. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. I just caught myself making a mistake. Yeah, Nikki says, catching mistakes is like finding gold. Because if we don't praise our mistakes, the habit doesn't change. Especially if we're afraid to see our mistakes, boy, that habit is protected. It's protected through our fear of looking. So we need to be really excited, excited spiritual students, excited for the opportunity to change by catching our mistakes and choosing again. That's our job right now. And with that, another Kirtana song is calling me. So let's listen to this song as well. This is a lovely song to listen to based on that willingness to not believe these thoughts. You know, when the hate thought comes in, the grievance thought comes in, the judgment against someone or something comes in, and it appears to be our thought. To remember, it's not our thought. I am not the person. This is not my thought. I am the awareness. I am the divine awareness. You know, of course, if I cast my attention on this thought, it's going to go forth and multiply. But if I just be myself, just be the emptiness of awareness and let the thought pass through without my interest, without my love, without my belief, well, that's where peace comes from. That's how peace becomes manifest, is by us just being that empty container of awareness or consciousness and letting manifestation move through without being grasped upon. All right, this song by Kirtana is called The Train Song. Again, I recommend listening with your eyes closed.
Just because the tracks are laid, or just because your ticket's paid for, and some crazed conductor keeps on calling out your name, you don't need to board the train. You don't need to board the train. Trains of thought will come and go, but you are not your thoughts, you know. So why get all caught up in where they lead? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Don't you see? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Be free. Be free. Even when you're feeling frightened, sad, or hurt, unenlightened, you can find a peace that underlies what passes by. Don't mistake the weather in the sky. I'm your being. Why mistake the weather for the sky? Feelings rise and fall away, even though you wish would stay. So why equate your sense of self with mood? You are who emotion passes through. Don't you see? You are who emotion passes through. Be free. Be free. Taking birth in this human form, with the chance to see that who we are was really never born, can never die, is always free. If destiny decides to strike some version of the script you like, and make a melodrama of your endless cabaret, you know you can still enjoy the play. Yes, you can, if you're still you know how to play. Just treat it like a mystery and view it from the balcony. Laugh and cry and stomp your feet, but don't believe a thing. You are who these scenes are passing through. Don't you see? You are who this play is passing through. Be free. Be free. Be free.
That was The Train Song by Kirtana. When I interviewed her here in the sanctuary about a year and a half ago, I told her the songs I had, and I asked her if I was missing any. And she said, oh, The Train Song. So that's the song that she recommended I add to my collection. I notice, let's see, Carrie has written, I happily call catching mistakes the big spiritual safari. Peggy has written, I celebrate seeing my mistakes with a crisp, cool glass of Moe and Chandon, which I guess is a wine. Now I am free to choose again. And Lynn has written, it's the same divine grace. This is important. It's the same divine grace in good actions and bad actions of others. Who do you have complete resistance to in your life based on bad actions of this person? Remember, there is no other. It is only pure divine grace coming through. Look back at your whole life. See the divine grace that was always that person. You may ask, how do I accept this person's past actions that upset me? It is the same divine grace. It is the same divine grace in good and bad actions. The exact same grace. All you can do is accept all in, all grace in. All you can do is accept all grace in. There is no such thing as blocking one or the other, for example, good or bad. It is either acceptance or resistance. There is no such thing as good or bad. It is all divine. Julie Desmond. It is all divine. And at the same time, we are the one who gets to discern. We are the one that gets to look at a manifestation that comes into our mind as a thought and decide if we want to cast our divine attention, our divine passion, our divine belief upon that thought. Oh my God. Think about that. That is so exciting. We get to decide. In the beginning was the word, utterance, idea. And the word, the utterance, the idea was with God. And the word, the utterance, the idea was God. It was with God in the beginning. And that beginning still is now, here, today. So today we got to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Which means next week we'll get to start with verse 3. Thank you everyone for joining me for the Guiding Light. And this will be recorded and posted on ReginaDonAkers.com. And I look forward to seeing you all again next week. Watch your thoughts. Remember that you get to choose whether you want to be interested in it or not. Okay? You don't have to be interested in it just because it's there. Bye.